Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
We'd like to extend a very warm welcome this morning to you to Christian World from Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, the Tyranny Response Unit. I'm back in the studio this morning. Yesterday was suffering from a horrible case of stomach flu or whatever it was called. Actually, the whole weekend was just a waste because of it. But very glad to be back here on the air and really appreciate the efforts of one of our producers yesterday, Mark Cochran, who filled in for me and was able to carry on the show. We've got a foggy day this morning in Greenville. It's not a problem with our transmission, apparently. It's a problem with the Tyranny Response Network. It's a problem with the fog. If you're not hearing us well, it's because because of the fog, apparently, that's restricting the amount of how far the transmission goes during the fog. Don't understand exactly why, but we noticed it driving in this morning that, indeed, it was a little sketchy, the signal, as we came in. At any rate, we have a number of interesting things to cover this morning on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. As always, we do welcome and covet your phone calls, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. You can also send us questions and comments by email 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. We'd like to direct you to the homepage of policyofliberty.net, and I would encourage you to check out the things that are there and available to you as resources. One thing which we have mentioned several times on the show before, and I'm going to mention it again now because it's so crucial. Some of you may not realize it, but the Tyranny Response Network is completely listener supported. We have no commercial income from advertising. And we'd like to maintain it that way, but we really do need your support. We need people who have bad debts or who have companies who have non-performing assets that can make a donation of those things, take a step up in basis for it, get a large deduction from their corporation, and then send them off to the Tyranny Response Unit Enterprises 501c3, which is then able to turn it over to the TRN and help support the show. If you're in a situation like that where you have some non-performing assets and can send them to us or send them to the network, please go to policyofliberty.net and scroll down the page until you find the line that says, "Do you want to help support TRN?" You click on where it says "Support TRN." It will take you to a page where it will give you some instructions on who to contact in order to do that. There's also a link on the homepage, policyofliberty.net, that allows you to make a cash donation to the Tyranny Response Network. If you click on that link, it will allow you to send an email to somebody in the production staff that will help you in knowing how to send a check or whatever you're going to do monthly support. We have not had sufficient support yet by any means to continue the broadcast, and we would appreciate if you enjoy listening to the show and you want us to stay on the air. Even if you could send in $5 or $10 a month, it would be very helpful, and we would appreciate it very much. There are also people who have some questions about how to get a hold of the recorded broadcasts that are outside this show, things that are put on by the production staff of the Tyranny Response Network. We've put that on the homepage as well, where it says recorded broadcasts. There's an underline there, a link. If you click that, you will be directed once again to an email that will contact somebody at the Tyranny Response Network. Some people have asked, well, how in the world do I find out about this, that, or the other? That's how. It's all on the web page. If you were to go to the web page this morning, policyofliberty.net, right below the main link section where it has an older photo of me when I was actually younger and more handsome, there is something down below that says, Dr. Coben's radio show on the listener-supported Tyranny Response Network, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, live from 7:30 to 9 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday in Greenville. And listen live, it says. And if you click that live button on the webpage, and I'm just reading the webpage here. If you listen live to Dr. Coben's radio show, The Tyranny Response Network, through internet broadcast, by clicking that live link, you will pop up in your Internet Explorer browser or some other media player or whatever you use to listen to sound files on your computer, a live streaming broadcast of the show. And you can listen 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right on your computer with crystal clarity to the Tyranny Response Network, including this show live. And we would encourage you to do so. We'd encourage you to take a look there on a daily basis. There are changes here that occur fairly regularly on this webpage, but we would also encourage you to tell your friends about, whether they be here in South Carolina or distant around the world, anywhere else in the country, to listen to the Tyranny Response Network, especially to Christian Worldview in the morning, so we can increase the amount of listeners we have on the internet broadcast. Please do tell other folks about it. It's one way you can support TRN. Some people say, well, I can't support with money. We just don't have it. Well, there's things that you can do to help support the network and the broadcast. One of them is getting the word out to other people. Another thing is simply praying for us. And there are even other things that are available for those who have some time that live in the Greenville area. There are still manual tasks, labor that's needed, some materials that are needed. These things, if you have something in handy or in kind that you can donate to the work and the effort, it would be greatly appreciated. Looking down on the list of things on this webpage, we also have a section entitled Recorded Shows, Links, and Other Show Information, where it says below that, listen to today's broadcast, listen to yesterday's broadcast, listen to the 2 days ago broadcast, and listen to the Romans 13, 1 Peter 2 special broadcast of January 18th, 2005. Clicking any one of those will get you the most current or yesterday, the day before, broadcast. People frequently are listening to this show on a recorded basis, and they have been for some time. These are the recent archived shows. People who are in different time zones and aren't able to get up, especially West Coast right now as it's 4:30 in the morning, they aren't able to conveniently listen to the show, and so they prefer to listen to the archives. That's the section you go to do that. Below that, there is some information about how to call into the show. Live, remember, it's 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. You call it the show, and we'll be able to put you on the air live. You can also send your questions and comments through the link on the homepage. Again, I'm reading from policyofliberty.net. You click the link that says Show Questions. It'll pop up in your email program, an email address and so forth that you can send to us. Below that section, we have samples of the Christian Worldview Show promotionals and Liberty Minutes with me. And so you have Disinfecting the Modern Mainstream Media. You have the Go Ahead, Make Your Day Clint parody and the Roughage for the Brain, Ear Candy, things like that. And then finally below that, before you have a section of photos of me, for whatever reason they're there, we have about 10 programs called Liberty Minutes. Now, Liberty Minutes, if you haven't heard before, we'd encourage you to do so. They don't run normally during the Christian Worldview Show, but they do run throughout the day on the Tyranny Response Network. Some of the Liberty Minutes programs include 5 minutes on why illegal drug policy will fail on account of perverse incentives. Here's another one. Five minutes and 5 seconds on a reading of Lawrence Reed's The Golden Calf of Democracy from the Freeman. We have a 5 minute and 46 second reading of excerpts of Ludwig von Mises's The Economic Causes of War. Then we have one 5:34 on why it's wrong to give government aid to tsunami victims. We have 6 minutes and 7 seconds on The Difference Between Government and the State by Albert J. Knox. 5 minutes and 20 seconds on why Bush conservatives are looking more like leftists. And 8 minutes 35 seconds on how the free market can be used to solve immigration problems. We have 6 minutes 35 seconds on why we should use marriage covenants instead of state marriage licenses. 6 minutes 12 seconds on dealing with concerns raised about using marriage covenants instead of state marriage licenses. And 7 minutes 21 seconds on why the state lottery, a voluntary and stupid man tax, is the best way to finance limited government. There's also one in Spanish on why the government school is our enemy. Well, all of those are available if you simply click there. They will pop up again, your media player or whatever other thing you use to listen to sound on your computer, and you'll be able to play them. You'll also, if you enjoy them, be able to send the link or the web page or the actual file, if you want to download it to your hard drive, to other people you know, other radio stations that you know. If you're listening and you have friends who are in the radio broadcast business, or you know people who are, that might want to carry either Liberty Minutes, our program, or our program called Liberty Minutes, or the actual live stream of Christian Worldview, we'd be very happy to talk with them, and you could help us by putting them in touch with us or us in touch with them. Send a question to the production staff or a comment to them with some information, as well as contacting your friends directly, and we can make an arrangement. And finally, at the bottom of the page, you have two links that are very important. One is called Deep Questions for Dr. Coben's Radio Show. These are 18 questions specifically regarding the Christian worldview, dealing with the Bible and philosophical and theological interests, such as self-defense and slavery, which we talked about earlier. When is rebellion okay? What about taxes? Some very deep and important questions there for you to read on or off the air, or when we're on or off the air live, I should say, and be able to send your comments and questions by email to us at the show and discuss these things. I also will have been and continue to read some of these questions during the live program to help you think more clearly and deeply. And then lastly, there's a link that says, take the quiz. What evangelical view of public policy seems right to you? Four Christian perspectives on public policy. It's a 15-question self-guided quiz. Many people have found it to be very interesting and informative and helpful in their own development as a Christian thinker. We encourage you to take that test and report to us the results of that that little quiz of 15 multiple-choice self-guided questions. At any rate, just want to encourage you again, we do need your support here at TRN. We're an entirely volunteer effort, and we would be happy to have you supporting the network. If you can, please go to the policyofliberty.net page. Think about a day. Don't delay. Click on the link that asks you how you can make a cash donation or in some ways support TRN with the non-performing assets of your company or your in-kind donations. And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on the Tyranny Response Network. We're up against a short break. We'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead. Make your day.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome back into Christian Worldview. This is Dr. John Coben. We have currently three people listening on the webcast. Appreciate you doing so. We'd encourage you to encourage others to listen to the webcast. There were actually about six people listening yesterday. We've got slots for 70 folks. We'd like to have those full from people listening all over the world, nationwide. And that alone is going to happen in a volunteer effort like this as you help spread the word. Please don't delay in doing so. It would be very much an encouragement to all of us here at the Tyranny Response Network who put in many, many hours into this effort and broadcast in order to promote the truth and help people think better about liberty, about their own faith. And we'd encourage you to help us by getting the word out about the webcast. We've been reading the Bill of Rights in recent shows. We've already read the first three amendments. The Bill of Rights, of course, are the first 10 amendments to the Constitution. Just to remind us of these Bill of Rights and keep them in the forefront of our minds, the Fourth Amendment says this: the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause. supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized, so that you have a right to, you can call it privacy if you want, but people just can't come into your home or your office or wherever you are and just search you for your personal effects, through your personal effects, your papers, and so forth, without a warrant subscribed under oath. Very important right we have in this nation. Many people don't have that right around the world. It's something we need to tightly hold and secure against those who are in the forces of the dark side, who would love to be able to take away that right from us. Also have, on a lighter note today, I've been reading a little bit of times from time to time, this book, Unusually Stupid Americans by Catherine and Ross Petras. And it's a little book published by Villard. Just on the lighter side, this is from page 127. Says, great moments in the law. It says, a Girl Scout troop is nabbed by police, page 127. A small group of 8-year-old girls was nabbed in early 2001 for the crime of selling Girl Scout cookies in public, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. After complaining to the officer, the kids waited for Sergeant to arrive, but when he did, he agreed. The Girl Scouts had broken the law. Finally, at the precinct house, the commander, Major Ron Slade, released the girls and apologized. We love the Girl Scouts, he said. I just bought some of their cookies. The 13-year-old girl was nabbed at a metro station with a stash of potato chips. A 13-year-old girl was nabbed at a metro station by police officers, arrested, and, of course, handcuffed. Then she was interrogated for 2 hours by police officers. Her crime? Munching on potato chips in the station. The girl was one of 12 children nabbed during a sweep of the station in Washington, D.C., a city with one of the highest murder rates in the nation. But now, thanks to vigilant officers under the direction of police officers Charles Ramsey and Metro General Manager Richard White, with one of the lowest potato chip consumption rates in the nation. And then finally, we have an 11-year-old faces the big house. An 11-year-old boy from Staten Island is looking at some jail time, or at least some a hefty fine, for ignoring jury duty notices. No matter that he's got a number of years before he can legally serve on juries, it's too bad. If you ignore jury duty notices, you go to jail for a month or pay $1,250. His father says he sent a copy of his son's birth certificate to the officials, but they say they haven't seen it, and they need proof. County Clerk Stephen J. Fiala isn't taking no for an answer. As soon as he gives me proof that his son is 11, I'll remove him from the rolls, he adds. You can't just call me up and say you're 11 years old. The law mandates that I be given proof. Well, I think if my 11-year-old son got summoned for jury duty, I'd send him. I'd personally bring him there, sit down there with him, and let him go ahead and sit on the jury. Why not? Wouldn't that be great? Of course, they probably wouldn't let him after he got there, but it'd be nice to be able to show him that he was summoned just for the fun of it. Jury duty is a very important thing, my friends. I'm going to tell you, especially if you who are Christians, should not ignore jury duty. I know it's a hassle, and I know it takes a lot of time, and you don't necessarily get paid anything for it. You might have to take a reduction of salary at work. And I realize that a lot of times you have to go out there and sit on these petty crimes, these ridiculous things that have jury trials. But what if you were to happen to get on a jury that had something, you know, a case that was really important that you could make a difference on? You know, I used to sit there and think to myself, well, I don't really want to serve on this jury. If they call me up and summon me, I'm going to go before the board and I'm going to tell them that, I'm just a right-wing radical nut, thinks that, government should be displaced. The current government we have is far worse than anarchy, and we should displace it entirely, and spout off my usual far-right rhetoric and have them disqualify me immediately. I thought that would be an excellent thing to do, get myself out of the duty. But upon further reflection, I began to realize that this is not the best choice, depending on the kind of trial it is. Certainly, if it's a trial over a traffic ticket or something rather lame, you might want to do that. But if it's a trial involving a so-called tax case or a case regarding somebody getting railroaded on some drug charge or somebody's property being taken away, why wouldn't you want to have the opportunity to hang the jury, to really stick it in the face of these government bureaus and agencies who are defrauding us and taking away our rights? I think we would want that opportunity, and therefore we'd want to be able to sit on the jury. So I encourage you all to do that. If you have any comments or questions about that, be sure to call the show this morning, 864-201-6955, 864-201-6955, emails 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. Short break. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a 501c3 listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.nppros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Tired of superficial and dull talk radio? Try some ear candy for thinking people. Listen to Liberty Minute with Dr. John Coben.
And we appreciate you listening to Liberty Minutes. We described those a little bit earlier on the show today. You can find out more about Liberty Minutes simply by visiting the webpage policyofliberty.net. Scrolling down the page, you'll find a number of different items there, including the Liberty Minutes broadcasts. We have a couple of emails that came in over the weekend while I was away sick. And appreciate, again, Mark Cochran's efforts to come back into the show here as a not only just be a producer, but actually sit on here at the behind the golden microphone of the Tyranny Response Network and host the Christian Worldview show for us. We have a letter from Katrina, and she writes, "Dear Dr. John Coben, thanks to this resource," meaning the Christian Worldview show, "my fiance and I have decided to, and the Policy of Liberty webpage, I should say, my fiance and I have decided to not get the marriage license." Good for you, Katrina. We're very pleased to hear that, and thank you for letting us know about that. "And we are very much interested in the covenant marriage. We do, however, have a few questions that we would greatly appreciate if you could answer. Do you have a specific legal method which to prove legitimacy of our marriage and resulting children? I see it has been nearly 3 years since your marriage, and this time have you run into difficulties by not having the marriage license, specifically in the following areas: travel, surname change, insurance, taxes, etc. And if so, how have you circumnavigated them? Are there resources available that you know of through which to address these issues? Thank you for your time and consideration. We do very much appreciate it, and I mean that in all sincerity. Kind regards, Katrina." And Katrina, I do appreciate, again, you writing into the show and asking these questions, because this is, again, a crucial issue for us. There are two Liberty Minutes in which I deal with the covenant marriage and marriage licensing issue. There are also my articles on the Policy of Liberty website. If you simply go to policyofliberty.net and click the Articles tab, you'll be able to go to scroll down and find marriage. In fact, the marriage issues, covenant marriage and so forth, use the Control-F function on your Internet Explorer browser. It should allow you to type in the word marriage and search on that page, and you'll be able to find those articles. Well, let me answer your questions one by one. Do you have a specific legal method by which you may prove legitimacy of our marriage and resulting children? Well, first of all, Katrina, I want you to ask yourself the question, what makes your marriage legitimate? Let's suppose there were no state license. You're before 1925, 1930 in this country. You're not marrying interracially, so there was no licensing whatsoever required. Let's assume that for a minute and say, what would make your marriage legitimate at that time? Well, if you think about it, what makes your marriage legitimate is the fact that you take a solemn promise, a vow to one another to be married, normally at a church service, but it wouldn't even have to be there. But there would have to be before public witnesses so that the community would recognize and understand that you hold yourself out to be married and you vowed to be married. As soon as that happens, all of your children that are born to you are automatically legitimate. I mean, God does not require the state certify that they be legitimate. As long as you have held yourself out to be married and you have made the public vows and you have your covenant between the two of you and before God, you are married and your children are legitimate. The idea that children can be illegitimate because the state has not sanctioned the marriage is simply preposterous. And if you think about it a little more deeply, I think you'll see that that's correct. Imagine what would have happened before 1930 if without the state's blessing, everybody's children would have been for thousands of years illegitimate in that sense. I don't concur whatsoever with that logic. The state butted into a role in which it had no place being, and it doesn't matter whether or not the state thinks you can prove legitimacy or not, because by virtue of the fact of your vows before God in the church service, you are just as much married whether or not the state has sanctioned it by giving you a license or not. She also asks, I see it has been nearly 3 years since your marriage. In this time, have you run into difficulties not having the marriage license, specifically in the following areas? Travel, surname change, insurance, taxes, etc. Haven't had any trouble in any of these areas. Now, I want you to be as wise as serpents and as gentle as doves when you're dealing with this. Bureaucrats that work in the various bureaus that you have to go through, whether it's passports or driving licenses and so forth, are not going to understand anything but what their public school education taught them. You have to remember that. They aren't going to be well-versed on biblical knowledge necessarily. They aren't going to understand philosophy. They're not going to understand history. These people are not going to be those you can go to and give them a quick course and have them absorb things. They're really not going to care. And if you walk in there, as one person had done who wanted to get married with a license, and start explaining to them all that they're doing with great fear and trembling, worrying if what they're doing is the right thing, and then trying to explain to the bureaucrat what's going on, the bureaucrat's natural response and the conservative nature of the bureaucrat is going to say, no, you can't do this. We're not going to process it. It's not going to happen. If instead you walk into the bureau and simply fill out the forms as if you know what you're doing and say, I'm going to sign this over, I changed my name over to my married name. The woman would do that, for instance, on the driver license. And here's the form filled out. Here it is. They'll stamp it and just let you go through. They'll make the name change. That's at least what happened in our case. The two areas which you're going to have difficulty in are going to be, number one, and be wise as you go through these lines, that these people are not your friends, they're not going to be educated, you just need to get in and get out. One would be the passport. Especially if you're in South Carolina and you got to go deal with the post office, who is the downtown guy in Greenville. It's not a person who's easy to deal with. And it's going to be difficult for you to change your name on your passport. That is going to be your greatest foe, and I haven't ever seen how to conquer that, but I don't know that it really matters. What is the problem with you traveling with your maiden name and your passport at any rate? I guess that's what I would say. If you have a conviction, as I do, that you don't need to have the state's permission to get married, and they refuse to change your passport out of your maiden name, so what? Leave it in your maiden name and travel on that for the rest of your life. Who cares? So that might be the one area in which you have difficulty. Insurance and the other things you mentioned are not issues. The Social Security Administration is something I would encourage you to never see again. I would abandon, not use in any way your Social Security number, and only give it as a reference when necessary to fill out a form or something that you can't get insurance or whatever. But I wouldn't worry about being able to change your name or collect your husband's so-called benefits. Personally, I think it's wrong for Christians to receive Social Security. So if by force, you know, you feel compelled to use the number that's assigned to you, that's one thing. But I wouldn't worry about changing the name down there either. I haven't really gone to find out if it's even possible to do so, because it hasn't been of any interest to us. So that's the only other area I'm not sure about, passports and Social Security. So appreciate those two questions. Hope those are some answers that are helpful. Just be careful as you to use your word circumnavigating through all of these things, that these bureaucrats are not going to understand what you're doing, that you're doing something out of religious conviction, and rather taking the time to explain to them or pass them my articles or call attorneys, they're just not going to care. Just try to get around them and get things done as quickly as possible. Go confidently, know what you're doing, and understand the theory of what you're doing, and to go forth and do good. Are there resources available that you know through which to address these vital issues? The only resources I know are the ones that I've written about. You can find on the internet, if you search some other things that people have written about covenant marriage, but the stuff that I've written specifically on the webpage, policyofliberty.net, are the resources I know most handily. Remember, folks, you're doing something that is, if you're getting married by covenant, you're defying the law of the land. The law of the land will recognize you as being married if you hold yourself out as being married, but they don't like you to do that. In fact, they require you to get a marriage license, and they can fine a pastor who doesn't marry you with a marriage license, $100, and put him in jail for 30 days. Now, I doubt that they'll do that. I hope that they'll do that in a way, because it would really push it to the public, the forefront of the public eye, wouldn't it, if they started throwing pastors in jail? But you're doing this out of conviction. You don't care what men say if you're obeying God, and therefore you need to be prudent in how you handle yourself. When Daniel opened his windows and prayed three times a day, he didn't do so to put it in the face of the men who beleaguered him for his religious convictions. He did it because it had been his custom for years. He didn't change his custom, his conviction, and you don't need to change your conviction either. But on the other hand, you don't need to go out carrying a placard, put it in their face, and cause grief upon yourself and your household by flagrantly just flashing it in front of people. And the same thing needs to be true when you're defying the state in regard to the marriage license issue. Well, we've come up against our 8 o'clock break. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Let's consider Christian stewardship in terms of financial planning. Saving, eliminating debt, lessening the burdens that can accompany a serious illness or accident. One of the most important reasons that we acquire life, disability, and long-term care insurance is because we want to love our neighbors as ourselves. After all, what kind of testimony do we give if we actually plan to rely on the charity of others? If we love others, especially our church and family members, we should do careful financial planning. Some Christians have 401k plans and need to be rolled over into a better investment alternative. Still others need to protect their wives and children by purchasing some inexpensive life or health insurance. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service. As an independent financial planning firm with a wide range of products, we're here to help you become a better financial steward. Find out about our many services at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And welcome back into the show. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Back again after being sick yesterday, and appreciating Mark Cochran filling in for the production staff on the show at the last hour, being able to come in and do that work. Appreciate that, Mark. Good guy, and appreciate all your efforts here at the Tyranny Response Network. Had an email come in this morning also from Ray, who says the following. First, I'm excited to have an entirely new to me and different point of view on the air right here in Greenville. I appreciate you saying that, Ray. That's great. I agree with your concerns about the infringement of personal liberty and our rapidly growing oppressive government in America, and I certainly share your disdain for George W. Bush. Well, when you say disdain for George W. Bush, I want to be cautious. As a Christian, I don't hate anyone because God tells me to love my enemies, and I do consider George W. Bush my enemy. And when you say I disdain or my disdain for George Bush, I hope it's coming across to anyone listening to the show that I disdain the policies of George Bush, the principles of George Bush, what he stands for, and what he's doing. I don't hate him personally or want to see evil come to him. The Bible says that God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, and that I should not either, of course, being wanted to be an imitator of God. In addition to that, I am called upon to pray for George W. Bush, that he leave me alone. The Bible says that that I might live a godly and quiet life in the world. I also think I could pray that God might save him from his sins. So I appreciate the comment, Ray, and I hope you understand that when you share your disdain or my disdain for George W. Bush. Well, I don't know. You may disdain him in the sense of hating him, but I don't. I just disdain what he does and what he stands for. But at any rate, he continues, I further agree with you on the merits of homeschooling. Wow, we're doing well this morning, Ray. Appreciate that. Yes, homeschooling, great thing. As a former full-time and now part-time public school teacher, I see little that is offered in our public schools that could not be more effectively accomplished at home. My primary source of income is coaching, the SAT, and other standardized tests. And in my 18 years' experience, I have found homeschooled kids actually have a slight edge on SAT scores. Actually, there's some research published on the internet about this, Ray, and you'll find that SAT scores for homeschoolers are 100 points above the national average, more or less, give or take a few points. And I believe the ACT scores are, was it 3 or 4 points higher, if I'm not mistaken. I looked at that data, and it was considerably higher, and that's of everyone on average. Now, if you just took public school kids, I don't think there'd be just a slight edge. I think you'd be looking at, you know, maybe 200 or more points on average that a homeschooler does better than the public school kids. So again, check your data sources. There are plenty of them available on the internet that have data on the success of homeschoolers on taking the SAT or the ACT national exams. Okay, we're doing well here so far, Ray. But then you're continuing. I don't necessarily disagree with you on abortion. I find the idea abhorrent, but I'm reluctant to legislate others with a different view, and I am not at all religious, though I shun the atheist and agnostic labels. And I'd like to pause there and say that this is Christian worldview, but we appreciate very much and know very much that there are those of you out there listening to the show who are not Christians. You listen to this show because you know this is the place you can get meat, so to speak, something to sink your teeth into philosophically, theoretically, and otherwise. This is a deep thinking show. This is a show for the person who wants to know about free market economics, about the philosophical goals of liberty, who stands with us with the founding fathers and their precepts and their ideals as the ideals we should set for America. We appreciate you listening to the show who are not Christians and dealing with some of these great issues of the day. Now, you're saying essentially here, Ray, that while you don't disagree with me about abortion being this the heinous act that it is, and I've been very clear that as far as I'm concerned, abortion is murder. There is no difference between a human being at one stage of development and versus another, whether he's inside the womb or outside of the womb makes no difference. The fact that he's attached to his mother, and that's the way God designed human reproduction to work, doesn't matter. It's still a human life that is taken, and government does not decide when our rights are granted, and if they do, we live under complete tyranny and chaos. But if we hold to the principles of Jefferson, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that these things happen antecedent to the state, that governments are instituted among men to protect these rights. If we hold to that particular view, we cannot have the government or any social institution deciding instead or defining instead when we have our rights granted to us. That's just simply not an acceptable idea. It doesn't even have to be a religious argument. In fact, I would direct you, Ray, to a website called Libertarians for Life. That's L 4L.org, L4L.org. Doris Gordon, who heads Libertarians for Life, considers herself to be an atheist, and I believe she's a Jewish atheist. I may be mistaken about being Jewish, and I'm not even sure how you can be a Jew and be an atheist exactly. It's always perplexed me a little bit. But at any rate, she is certainly not a Christian or religious, and she holds that abortion is murder and therefore is outside of the category of all other public policy issues. Once you defy the right to a person's life, the whole game becomes undone. Abortion is an issue unlike all other issues that we deal with, whether it be taxes or welfare or inefficient provision of goods and services and so forth, because it hits right at the heart of what is most important in our system of the state, our system of public policy, and that is, where do rights come from? Are they antecedent to the state or granted by the state? I think as soon as we say abortion is possible or legal and so forth, we've gone over the line by far and said government now has the role of defining when life begins, when people get rights and so forth. Anyway, to continue on, he says, anyone who claims there is no higher power has no more proof or authority than those who claim otherwise. At any rate, you have one liberal, tree-hugging, bleeding-heart Democrat among your listeners who is at least willing to listen. And keep on talking, Doc Ray. Well, I appreciate that, Ray. I didn't realize you were a bleeding-heart Democrat as well as a liberal, tree-hugging one. We'll try to deal with some of those issues along the way as well. Especially some of the articles I've written in the past on the environmental topics, I'm sure will come up. Environmentalism is just a way out, wacky idea that's gone awry here, and the liberals have taken half-truths and built them into whole lies based on this false science or pseudoscience that goes into much environmentalist thinking. Appreciate the email today, Ray. We've come up against a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You're listening to TRN. Disinfecting the Modern Mainstream Media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a 501c3 listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.nppros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Fox News is reporting that Bush urges renewal of the Patriot Act, Monday, February 14, 2005, through the Associated Press in Washington. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, another key figure in the fight against abortion, I think not. Anyway, Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, former friend of George Bush who got him off of his drunk driving ticket and who allowed the teenager, upheld the ruling that allowed the teenager to not tell her parents about her getting an abortion in Texas, has been on the job for several days already. But Monday's ceremonial swearing-in gave President Bush the chance to push for renewal of the USA Patriot Act. Parts of the anti-terror law enacted shortly after the September 11, 2001 terror attacks are set to sunset at the end of this year. The administration wants Congress to extend those portions and even desires to expand some rules. Well, fancy that. We must not allow the passage of time or the illusion of safety to weaken or resolve in this new war on terrorism, Bush told about 300 Justice Department officials attending the ceremony. The Patriot Act bolstered FBI surveillance and law enforcement powers in terror cases, increased use of material witness warrants to hold suspects incommunicado for months, and allowed secret proceedings in immigration cases. Civil liberties groups and privacy advocates lambasted the law because they said it undermines freedom, but Bush said the act has been vital to our success in tracking terrorists and disrupting their plans. I wonder how successful, really, George Bush has been in tracking terrorists and disrupting their plans. Maybe he's been somewhat successful, I don't know. But he certainly has not caught Osama bin Laden and just ended up destroying Iraq, and isn't real clear that that was necessary in the war on terror or what he's done in Afghanistan. Some people disagree. If you do, call the show. Tell me why. 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. As a Christian, why are we concerned about this Patriot Act business, any rate? Well, I'll tell you why. Because you live in a country that has some of the greatest liberties, at least historically, ever granted to anyone on the face of the earth. And as a Christian, you have an advantage in this respect because you have greater freedom to not only develop theology, to speak freely about theology, to preach the gospel, but also to export the gospel to other nations on account of the liberties that we have here. If nothing else, you should be concerned about the liberties you have as an American, that they be preserved. And this Patriot Act goes against the Fourth Amendment, which we read today, in full force. It allows the government to circumvent, because of concerns about terror, the Fourth Amendment, as well as other amendments in the Bill of Rights and the Constitution that protect you from the tyrannical state. So, George Bush, your true colors are showing. I really appreciated Mark Cochran's comment yesterday when George Bush got it right about trying to derail Amtrak and saying we need to not fund this beast, this behemoth, this waste of money. He said every blind pig once in a while finds an acorn. Well, I think here again we have George Bush not showing his finding of the acorn, but in fact just showing that he is a blind pig, if I can use that euphemism. But George Bush is the blind pig who is doing what he wants for his own power without seeing the true nature of his actions. Or maybe he does truly know, and he's just fooled, especially the gullible Christians, but other people in America, to say that he's actually doing a good job or doing good things. Now, I know a lot of folks voted for him. I don't mean to impugn your motives or say that you were stupid for voting for him. I'm simply saying, folks, you believed what this guy said, and now you have not found him, none of us have, to be the truly great so-called Christian president that people had hoped for. And you won't find that. I predicted that before the election. I predicted it all during the last 4 years of his administration, and I will continue to do so because George Bush gives lip service as a shifty politician to gain votes. And he pushes the pragmatism button in order to throw out the third party vote, and people get very scared when they see somebody like John Kerry running against him, and they rush to vote for Bush instead. Better the devil you know than the one you don't know kind of idea. Well, here we have George Bush violating rights by pushing for this Patriot Act thing again. This needs to be opposed. You need to write to congressmen, ask them to not approve the Patriot Act. It is just an evil thing. Another news headline, which I thought was interesting in Fox News, was because it relates to the Christian worldview once again about government schooling. Against people, before I read this article, some people say, well, it's so negative to always talk about the bad things in the world. Well, look, folks, this is the Tyranny Response Network. Remember, we are responding to the tyrannies of the day. We're talking about these things. We read some lighthearted stuff, some jokes, and so forth. But there are some really troubling things that go on in the world. Not only in our own communities, but in other places around the world that Christians need to be aware of. They affect the Christian worldview, and therefore we need to talk about them. Here's a story of the teacher rapist. You know, we've had a number of stories recently about the socialization measures at public schools that are carried on independent of the administration's condolence or authorization, obviously, and that has been teachers have been raping their students. And here's an example of one that God may be putting some common grace into, perhaps. Teacher rapist victim set wedding date. This is from the Monday, February 14th Fox News site. In Seattle, Mary Kay Letourneau and her former sixth grade pupil, Vili Faulau, I can't pronounce it, F-U-A-L-A-A-U, with whom she had two children, has set their date for their wedding, according to an online bridal registry. Letourneau, 43, and Faulau, 22, plan to wed April 16th, the Seattle Post-Intelligencer reported Monday. Letourneau served 7.5 years on a 1997 conviction of raping Faulau. It's been long overdue, said Noel Soriano, a longtime friend of the family, who confirmed Sunday that they will be marrying this spring. It's going to be fabulous seeing them get hitched, finally. Well, while we're happy to see people get married, and these two children grew up with a family with a mom and dad, although it is unusual having the wife 21 years older than the husband, be that as it may, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a kind of an age spread. What bothers me about this implicitly is not the fact that God is gracious and that there's some common grace here, and I think that's a good thing, but that there's this underlying current in these sort of news stories that, well, even if they're really doing these bad deeds in the public school, still it can all be washed away and turned into something good. You know, lemons can be made into lemonade. These teachers that rape their students, see, it may not be so bad after all. It's a kind of the dribble that you get from the homosexual or the sodomite movement as its alternative lifestyles go into the public school system, where it just becomes another person's choice. It's okay. So eventually it'll go to this. You have to realize that we're on a slippery slope. As soon as alternative lifestyles and homosexuality and bisexuality are accepted as normal and okay, and sodomites are no different than other normal people, well, we're on the slippery slope of saying, hey, well, you know, if you want to have, you know, intimate relationships with minors, people that are just young children, it's not a problem. I mean, you know, it's just a different way of doing things, and it can all work out in the end. That's the concern I have when I see these kinds of stories. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Remember, our phone number is 864-201-6955, 864-201-6955. Questions may be sent 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to questions@policyofliberty.net. You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network. Go ahead. Make your day.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And welcome back to the program. Dr. John Coben with Christian Worldview, still hanging in there with three of you listening on the webcast this morning. I'd like to encourage you to remind others that we are available. Our program is now available through webcast on the World Wide Web. go to the policyofliberty.net homepage, click on the link that says live, and anywhere in the world your friends, family members can listen to the Tyranny Response Network and to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on their PCs at home or office. Well, another feature we've been building into the Christian Worldview Today show is a discussion about economics, and I teach my own homeschoolers economics. Had one of them actually complete the two CLEP exams with flying colors a couple of years ago, and I'm now with my next two boys out of six teaching them economics. And one of our main textbooks that we use is, I think, the best mainstream textbook. Notice I said mainstream textbook because I think there are other textbooks that could be used as well that would not be mainstream that would be better. But if you're going to be passing national standardized tests, I think one of the best books to start with is Paul Haynes' The Economic Way of Thinking. And in the back of each chapter, he has some very excellent questions to ask that help us think economically. And part of the reason we have so many failed policies and why Christians support so many failed policies and wrong-headed policies is because they just don't understand economic theory at all. And this is a sad thing, but it's something that's that we can remedy, and hopefully on Christian Worldview from time to time we'll be able to read some questions out of Paul Haynes' text and answer them for you, help you think better as a Christian. And in chapter 6, question 6 says this: is it more efficient to build dams with lots of direct labor and little machinery, or with lots of machinery and with little labor? Why will the answer vary from one country to another? Well, you notice that some people have a contention that, well, look, it's bad in some places that they use so many people to do their public works projects. When I lived in Chile, I was surprised at first when I would drive through the section of Chile which I consider still to be third world or second world. Santiago, the main center, and some other places like Viña del Mar are very first world in that country, but the rest of it, in fact, it's not any different than a major American city for the most part. But other places are very much third world. And I remember going through the countryside or an area not too like outside of the city limits a fair amount, and I saw an enormous hole in the road. It was a trench dug all the way across, must have been maybe 12, 15 feet wide, and at least that deep. I mean, it was very deep. And they were putting a sewer pipe way down, and there must have been 30 guys out there with shovels. They had dug out this enormous ditch by hand. I thought to myself, well, why did they do that? Well, does it make sense? I mean, why don't they just get, you know, a backhoe or some other kind of machinery in there and do this? Well, there's a simple economic reason for this. It's not that the country there is exploiting workers or is just trying to harm people by not giving them things that can make their jobs easier for them. There are a couple of reasons. One is, people just, and one guy told me this down there, the people down there are so unproductive and uneducated that come out of their government school program in Chile, which is, believe it or not, as bad or worse than it is here, that they just wouldn't know how to run a machine. It's not that they can't run a lawnmower. We give them scissors, and sometimes they literally do, because they will break the lawnmower. They have no idea, and the owner has simply no idea, no time to train them, if he knows how to do it himself, on how to use it. The second reason is more fundamental. Because it's not just the cost minimizing effect of not wanting to use expensive machinery that they might break, but it's simply that labor is cheap, especially in the third world areas. And if you can run a big machine for $1,000 an hour and do the job at $1,000, but if you only have to pay people $2 an hour, and it takes them in terms of labor hours less than $1,000 worth of labor to dig the ditch, you're going to end up digging the ditch with the labor, because what you don't really care what mixture as a firm or even as a public policy, inefficient provision policy, whether or not you use 80% labor and 20% capital or 80% capital and 20% labor. It all depends on the productivity of the citizens, the wages that need to be paid to the citizens, and the skill level of the citizens. So in China or in third world countries, you would expect to see far more people being employed, far more labor being employed in any project than you would in a place like America or Western Europe, where labor quality is very high, that people who are typical laborers are far more educated, far more productive, and are paid far better than other people. And therefore, you'll have far more labor in those countries, maybe even 100% of it, like that case in Chile, being done of a project being done with labor and virtually no capital other than the shovels. On the other hand, when you're here in America, you might see, you know, three or four guys sitting there doing the same project in an hour with a big piece of equipment, and that being the most efficient outcome. So this, you can't simply judge the amount of labor or capital used in any project as efficient or inefficient based on simply the raw numbers. It depends on where you are. It depends on the opportunity cost of each country's constituents, the comparative advantage that each country has in labor versus capital, wage rates, productivity rates, education levels, and so forth. Be careful not to paint the whole world with the with a single brush or to stereotype, because it all depends on the circumstances in which people live. That's to hope that's a little piece. Hopefully this morning will help you think a little bit better economically. Remember, we're homeschool friendly here on the Tyranny Response Network and with Christian Worldview. If you're listening in, kids, take it to heart and understand the difference between mixing labor and capital and how it works between different countries. It's okay to have a lot of labor. It's okay to have a lot of capital. It just depends on the circumstances. We're coming up against a quick break here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN. Tired of superficial and dull talk radio? Try some ear candy for thinking people. Listen to Liberty Minute with Dr. John Coben.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to the show. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on a happy Tuesday. I was away yesterday, out sick, and was so appreciative to have Mark Cochran, one of our production staff, sub in for me yesterday and carry on the tradition that we've now started at Christian Worldview now in its sixth week. The Tyranny Response Network, yes, this is the beginning of the sixth week. We gave you some information on how you can support the show, and if you do enjoy the show, we've heard so many good comments from people. We would appreciate your support. This is a listener-supported broadcast. Go to policyofliberty.net and find out how you can do that. You can reach us by telephone this morning at 864-201-6955, 864-201-6955. In addition to that, your comments and questions are available to be sent to the Tyranny Response Network, especially Christian Worldview, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And speaking of phone calls during the break, Chuck gave us a call, and we have now Chuck on the line. Welcome to Christian Worldview.
Hey, good morning, John.
Good morning. Thanks for calling.
Well, you're welcome. I'm real glad to hear your voice again, back in the saddle.
Yeah, there's a little bit of residual stomach pain, but I guess it's been going around South Carolina. It's a pretty nasty event for 3 days, and after that, you have 4 days of residual. But I'm on the mend, so I appreciate it, you saying that. Thank you.
Well, good. I was intrigued by your discussion of economics and jobs and the efficient use of labor versus capital. It seems to me that we hear some real odd statements from politicians in this country where they seem to think that the end all is kind of like the old days when we had to get tough on crime. I guess that's not entirely over. but now it's jobs. You know, we got to provide jobs. And tying into the nanny state mentality, we're supposed to look to the politicians to give us jobs. And I'm finding all this kind of odd. I'm wondering how that ties in with your discussion of capital and labor.
Well, it's a great question. And, again, this shows the ignorance of people in not only abusing public policy and wanting the politicians to do it, but actually believing that government can come in and correct market failures, the so-called market failures. The reason people believe that governments can give us jobs is because they believe the market cannot, and they believe that markets essentially fail to do their job in providing full employment for people. And in order to remedy this, they believe the government can either use deficit spending or so-called make-work projects that simply allow the churning over of different tasks to be done, people to earn a wage, and therefore the economy to be stimulated. This is the old idea of the quasi-socialist John Maynard Keynes during the Great Depression. It simply doesn't work this way. The reason people have jobs is because there is an entrepreneur who has developed a product, an idea, brought it to market that people had not thought of beforehand, and because of that new product being brought to market, there is an increased demand, and the quantity demand goes up, and as that happens, that new entrepreneur with his new idea needs new people to, or more people to, fulfill orders. The market economy automatically creates jobs as productivity is stimulated, as people begin to develop new ideas and meet the demands of consumers. I was reading Don Berdreau's article in the Freeman. I may bring that up on a later show because it was just so good. He said he went down to Home Depot this last weekend and was buying a can of paint and found out some smart inventor, some entrepreneur, invented some kind of plastic lid for paint cans that costs $1.99 that tremendously reduces the amount of paint that's ever spilled and makes pouring very accurate. And for $1.99, you don't even think about this small invention, how it drives people on. But that little invention employs people, not only in the production, it's somebody getting an order for their company to make the product, but the new receptionist job, the new marketing the marketing position job, and all of the other support staff come from that one little idea. This is how jobs are created in the economy, and this is how we continue to become wealthier, as little things, incremental things that we often go unnoticed in our lives are developed. Think back 20 years ago. I don't know how old you are exactly, Chuck, but you know, if I look back 25 years ago, before we even had calculators, electronic calculators, the world has changed dramatically and incrementally, not with huge leaps and bounds, but the professions open to people nowadays, like my kids coming out of college, are dramatically different than the occupations that were open to me 20, 25 years ago when I was coming out of college. Or 20 years ago, I should say. I'm going to be 42 next month, so I guess it'd be about 20 years ago. And things improve because technology improves, and we end up finding job creation done in this way. I hope you follow that line of reasoning. The whole line of reasoning that government can either protect jobs, save jobs, create jobs is fallacious and is an abuse of public policy. Now, you've been hanging in there for a long comment. Did I answer your question, or do you have some other part?
Yeah, you did, very nicely. It does raise a memory, though. I remember from studying economics way, way back, I'm about the same age you are, that there was an argument, and I think it was from Keynes, that it said, okay, you've got unemployment, and it's better for the government to put those people to work in something like Public Works Administration and do something productive rather than having these people sit around and need government assistance.
Yeah,
what do you think about that?
The Works Progress Administration of FDR, what a total blunder, this great socialist of American history. Keynes basically argued that as long as people are busy, it's better for the economy. Your government would just borrow money or print money through the Federal Reserve and inflate, effectively. Make one person dig a ditch with a shovel, and as he dug, have another person come behind him and simply fill in the same ditch and actually end up producing zero gain for the day. If both people get paid a salary on the deficit, it'll cause a stimulation of spending because they'll have money to go out and consume things. By consumption being increased, you're going to have economic expansion. This is, of course, should be obvious to everyone, is a fallacy because although you have consumption, you also have greater amounts of debt, and you also have complete non-productivity. So you end up saddling the next generation of taxpayers, so to speak, with debt that is going to harm their consumption, going to belittle the amount that they're able to consume. And in addition to that, you produce nothing. Remember, if we both go to work in the morning and one of us, perhaps goes out and sells some product, another one goes out and builds a widget, we've actually done something at the end of the day. We've produced something that people want. If one person simply digs a ditch and another one fills it in, there is no net gain to society to those individuals there might be, but there is no wealth production in the nation. It's almost the same thing as warfare. People think, well, war stimulates the economy. Well, what does war do? It takes people out of the private sector and producing goods and services, causes them to create bombs and things that we go drop in other places and destroy their capital. So it displaces labor, it destroys goods and services, not only in our country but elsewhere, and does not produce anything productive. Now, that's not saying that building bombs is completely a waste of time, because as far as defense goes, we do need some. We need burglar alarms, we need cops, and all those. They don't produce anything for us. They do minimize our costs because they reduce the amount of crime and destruction to property that happens from predators. That part is necessary. Can't avoid that. But in terms of actual wealth creation, the production of defense services does nothing. And the same thing would be said for the works progress sorts of deals. Again, that's a real long answer. We're coming up against a quick break. You want to hang on to the line, Chuck, if you want to continue, that's fine. Let's take a quick break on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben and the Tyranny Response Network, and we'll be right back.
The Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a 501c3 listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.nppros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Tired of superficial and dull talk radio? Try some ear candy for thinking people. Listen to Liberty Minute with Dr. John Coben.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview. Indeed, we're having an interesting discussion with Chuck on the line about economics this morning. We appreciate Chuck's calling in and helping us think better as Christians. Some people may say, well, I understand what this has to do with the libertarian point of view or the Constitution Party point of view or the conservative point of view, but why in the world are we talking on Christian Worldview about economics? Well, it's precisely because Christians are ignorant of economics that they end up voting for policies or doing things that are harmful to the faith, are harmful to their rights, and actually erode the Christian point of view and perspective, which should be the most thoughtful, thought-provoking, and pensive, pointed perspective of anyone else. Why? Because we serve the creator of the universe. We have a better knowledge of God and a better knowledge of the way things work because we understand the heart of man, we understand providence, we understand the sovereign control of God. We should be the ones who are leading in society, not the ones who are following and being misled by all sorts of phony ploys of liberals or phony ploys of those who would lead us down a primrose path of economic justice and so forth based on false economic logic. So it's very important for us to understand economics and to apply economic theory to our own lives and practice. So still we have with us Chuck on the line. And Chuck, do you have a further follow-up on our conversation we were just having?
Yes, I do, please. I understand about the war and about doing make-work projects that don't really produce anything, but I think there is a legitimate function of government where they build public works, for example, roads, bridges, tunnels, things that really are needed and really do increase the welfare, the economic well-being of the country. So how is it if you're in a depressed situation, you have people unemployed, and the government decides to, this is a good time to invest in public infrastructure and put people to work building roads and bridges and things.
Well, this is an interesting comment. I really appreciate that comment because it is one which we hear frequently that, well, you know, I'm so glad at least we have the government. And I say, well, why? What do they do for you that's any good? And they say, well, they build roads for me. That's one of the first things people say. And it relates to this to some extent because of this. Well, let me give you this following analogy. Let's suppose that we all like to eat hamburger meat, and you can go down to the store and buy hamburger meat for, I don't know, maybe it's $2 a pound now. I haven't looked lately, but I'm assuming that's about the right price. And let's suppose that government comes into the picture and says, well, we're going to produce as the Government Service Corporation hamburger meat as well. And we're going to not allow anybody else to make hamburger meat, and we're going to sell it to you for $100 per pound. Well, you wouldn't think that's necessarily good that they've sold you this hamburger for $100 a pound, not because you don't like hamburger or don't think that hamburger is a good that you actually want or need, but because you think the price is too high. The same thing can be said about public works situations. Yes, the government can build dams and do things that are useful with water conservation. Yes, government can build a roadway. Yes, governments can put up traffic signals and many other projects such as sewers and water purification, a lot of things that governments do. The question is not whether or not they're producing a good, that's something that people want, but whether or not they're doing it in an efficient manner and a way that should be continued to be done by the state rather than by markets. And as economists have shown time and again, there's very little evidence that government does things efficiently, even if it does things effectively, over the long run or even during these crisis situations. And that brings us then to question the thing that you brought up. Well, we need these things in a crisis situation. Isn't it good for government to employ its resources to do this? My answer is no, it shouldn't. And the reason is government has no incentives to do things effectively or efficiently in the way that markets do. I don't want to buy a hamburger for $200 or $100 a pound or even $10 a pound. I want to buy it at the market price, the cheapest price possible. The only way you get the cheapest price is through competition in the free market. That's the only way it happens. Never happens through price supports or through government setting or fixing prices. All we have from that is a complete disaster and demise that we found under socialism. When government gets involved in any kind of public works projects, it either messes it up, not because they don't produce a good that doesn't work, but because they mess up the productive elements of society, displacing laborers, too many laborers, or resources from things that they would normally be used at in the market. So my answer, in short, is the first part. Yes, government can produce goods and services we want, but second of all, should they? No. Why? Because they're going to do it inefficiently and ineffectively, and there's no evidence in the last 200 years of American history that governments have done well in producing the things that they have. Are you still with us, Chuck?
Yes, I am. I wanted to make sure I heard everything. Great. Yeah. Good explanation. I appreciate that.
Sure. I appreciate you calling. Do you have anything else you'd like to follow up with?
No, I'm going to hang up and listen to the rest of the show. I'm enjoying it.
Okay. Appreciate the call, Chuck. And we'd encourage others as well to call in with the deep questions. On the Tyranny Response Network, we oftentimes do not get a lot of phone calls, and that's a little bit discouraging for us in some sense, but we want to encourage you to call primarily because we need to know what's on your mind. And a lot of times Christians and other people who love free markets are beleaguered by various misconceptions that were taught to them either by the mass media, the public school, or the casual reading of newspapers and magazines. People without formal economics training cannot be expected to understand all the intricacies of economics and all the literature in describing the failures of economic policies or the successes of economic policies. And therefore, we provide an opportunity for you on the show to call in with your questions and concerns about just about anything, especially related to economics and economic policy, so that we can discuss it and help you think better. This isn't a question about aggrandizement of the Tyranny Response Unit or the Tyranny Response Network. This is a show about helping Christians think better, helping those who love liberty promote it better, and helping us preserve the rights and liberties and the vision of the founding fathers of this great nation here in America. Well, we've had about three people listening on the Tyranny Response Network through the webcast. We'd like to encourage you to encourage your friends to listen to the Tyranny Response Network live via the internet by going to policyofliberty.net and clicking the live button that's there and having that stream to your media player at home or office, as well as those of you listening in Greenville area on the FM dial. We'd like to remind you also of our phone number, 864-201-6955, 864-201-6955. Questions and comments may be emailed to us at questions@policyofliberty.net. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute on the Tyranny Response Network for the last segment of Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
You're listening to TRN.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben with Integrity Group. Why is it so difficult for Christians to be good stewards of their finances? We know that God works miracles in people's lives, but He has not chosen to provide manna from above to help us meet our needs as He did with the ancient Israelites. As Christians, we should be leading the way as good stewards. Since we do not spend money on vices like non-Christians do, we should be able to save more. We want to work hard and save our money so that we can have something to give to missions and to the needy. In addition, we want to regularly set aside a portion for retirement. Christians should not have to rely on taxpayer-funded government programs for retirement. No Christian wants to become a burden to their family or church during the ever-lengthening period of old age. At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. We are an independent financial planning firm. We specialize in finding creative custom solutions to meet your savings needs. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Welcome back to the final segment of Christian Worldview. So happy that you've joined us today. Once again, we've got plenty of room on the webcast for new listeners to come in, putting it in a positive light. If we got plenty of spaces to get up to our 70 capacity limit, and we'd be happy to have more people listening via the webcast. Well, we had a number of people sending in stories, and we haven't had a chance to get to all of them today, and that's all right. These stories that some of them were sent in will be perfectly valid tomorrow as well if we can't get to them all today. We have some interesting quotations that I thought we might get to that Greg sent in. He said, here's a quote to comment on, Dr. Coben. He said, two people, let's see, where is this from? This is from W.W. Turner, The Amazing Story of the British Sovereign, Nashville, Tennessee, 1970, page 4. And I'm not sure the publishing house there, but somewhere in Nashville. Two people could have walked down any U.S. street in 1930, one with a bottle of whiskey under his arm and one with a bar of gold in his pocket, and the one with the whiskey would have been a criminal, whereas the one with the bar of gold would have been considered a good, law-abiding citizen. If the same thing happened in any U.S. city in 1970, the one with the whiskey would be the law-abiding citizen, and the one with the gold bar would be the criminal. Well, it's an interesting quotation. I'm not sure the veracity of all of that, frankly, Greg, and I appreciate you writing the comment in or sending the quotation in, but would someone who walked down the street today with a gold bar in his hand be considered a criminal? That sounds very doubtful to me. I have a feeling that at least for me, if I wanted to go get a gold bar, and that's probably pretty expensive, so I probably wouldn't be able to have one. But if I had a gold bar and I just were walking down the street with one under my arm, that must weigh an awful lot, too. Not sure I could sustain that for very long, not being the weightlifting variety and being aged and gray now. But nevertheless, I could probably walk down the street for a little while with a bar of gold, and still, although I'd be concerned that people would mug me and take it away from me, I wouldn't think that I would be a criminal. So I'm not sure what that's all about. I think you're probably right that a person could walk down the street with a bottle of whiskey and be a law-abiding citizen. I didn't realize he would have been a criminal in the 1930s. So although it's an interesting quote, I really don't know how to comment on it because I'm not even sure that it's factually correct. We also have another biography sent in by Greg, a short bio that says this. The following is from the John C. Pemberton Camp newsletter, In the Trenches, with the information taken from the book by Minor Ferris Buchanan, Holt Collier, His Life, His Roosevelt Hunts, and the Origin of the Teddy Bear. Holt Collier was born in 1846 as a slave to the family of Thomas Hines. His early years were spent on the Hines family plantation, Home Hill in Jefferson County, Mississippi. As a young boy, he was taken into the wilderness of the Mississippi Delta and the hands at the Hines Plantation, Plum Ridge in Washington County. He served as a valet to the young Hines men and spent most of his time tending to the hunting dogs and hunting. When his master was leaving to join the Confederate forces massing for General Johnson's defense, the Confederate line in Kentucky, Holt asked to join him. Hines refused to allow Holt to go with him, but Holt stowed away in the boats taking the Confederate forces to Memphis. When Hines saw him in Memphis, the master allowed Holt to remain with him in the army as his body servant. At the first engagement with the Yankees, Holt grabbed a rifle and joined the Confederate soldiers on the firing line. From that time, he was seen by the Confederate soldiers as a soldier. After the retreat from Shiloh, Holt's master gave him three options: go back to the plantation with him, join Forrest's cavalry, or join the 9th Texas Cavalry. Both of the cavalry units sought Holt as a soldier. Holt chose to ride with the young men from Texas and rode with them in their campaigns from Shiloh to the fall of 1863. From the fall of 1863 to the end of the war, Company 1 of the 9th Texas, along with Holt, served on independent duty in the Delta swamps. The men protected the general populations as well as engaged the enemy at every opportunity. After the war, he was arrested for the murder of a Union captain, fled to Texas, and became a cowboy, and later returned to Mississippi to avenge the death of his former master. He became a noted bear hunter in the Mississippi Delta and hunted with Theodore Roosevelt in the hunt that ended with the phenomena of the teddy bear. Interesting story. It's interesting not so much because of that he was involved with the teddy bear hunt to me, but again, the fact that you have a black slave who was fighting on the side of his master, not against his master, helps us dispel this myth that in some way the war between the states was fought primarily to free slaves. Wasn't, folks. The slaves in the South, many of them were content with the way that, with their lifestyle, the way they were, and saw that the violation of the property of their master was a violation of their rights and their way of life as well. Believe it or not, as contrary it is to the indoctrination program which we've received in our own lifestyle, or in our own lives, we find that there were black men who fought on the side of the South. There were many free blacks in the South as well who fought. And free blacks, we've learned recently, who owned slaves, and they fought on the side of the South. Fascinating thought. They said one of the most fascinating things and exasperating things for Pennsylvanians was seeing the brigades that came in before Gettysburg of blacks fighting in the gray uniform freely against the Yankees who were supposedly there to free them. Well, these are some interesting questions. I was going to raise another question. We don't have time on today's show, but about the Underground Railroad rebellion and so forth. Was it right or not for Christians at that time to help slaves become free, to violate the law? The law said that because of the Fugitive Slave Act and others, that if you stole someone's slave and helped them escape to the North or whatever it is, you violated the law. You go to prison for that. But Christians did so, especially Quakers. They would go out of their way to help people break the law. Not only the slave break the law, but to take people's property from them. Was that right? Was that wrong? Interesting question to ask. I think it was right, but there are some people who might doubt that. Well, this was an interesting bio piece, Greg. We appreciate you sending in the stuff about Pemberton and his story. And this has been a good show. A lot of interesting discussion today on different topics. Especially with regard to economics and some of these finer points of philosophy. This is the Tyranny Response Network. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We look forward to having you back on the show again tomorrow. Please don't forget to visit policyofliberty.net. Send us some questions by email to questions@policyofliberty.net overnight. We'll see you again tomorrow on the Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Until then, God bless you.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.